The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on September 17th, 2009, in Tartu, Estonia.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 2. This is one of the choicest, sweetest verses in all the scriptures of the world. It's so nectarian verse. I just had to speak on this today. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo Dharmak projita kaitavo trapadamo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni krite king vipraya rishvaraha sadhya hridya vrujyate kras riti bishu shru shubish tachanat. Translation. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are material and motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God-realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is situated within his heart. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So there's two types of consciousness. One can be tuned One can be seeing reality as it is. One can be an illusion. Of course, there are different degrees of perceiving reality. Just like Brahman realization is said to be perfect realization of reality, Paramatma realization is said to be more perfect realization of reality, and Bhagavan realization is said to be the most perfect realization of reality. There are different levels of realizing reality. When one reaches the level of realizing reality 100%, then he hears from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam distinguishes clearly the highest truth as being reality distinguished, purely, fully distinguished from illusion. These are not simply some flowery words. The Bhagavatam says that such truth uproots the threefold miseries. The threefold miseries are the miseries caused by the mind and the body. That's the first one. This is called adiyatmic miseries. The second one is called adibhautik misery. This is miseries caused by other living entities. The third is called adidaivik miseries. These are miseries caused by natural disasters and natural influences like the cold Estonian winter, or the hot Texas summer. These are called adidaivik miseries. So, this truth, to realize this truth described in the Bhagavatam, it uproots these miseries. Now, what does that mean, uproots? If you have some weeds growing in your garden, you can chop them off, you see. Because the root is still in the ground, they will come back again. But if you can pull those weeds out by the root and throw them away, you see, they will never come back. So right now, we have these weeds growing in our hearts. Three types of miserable conditions growing in the heart. Through material sense and enjoyment, you know, liquor, cigarettes, promiscuous sex, you can chop the miseries off at the top for a few minutes. For a short while, you can feel a little relief. Drowning yourself in sense enjoyment. But because the root of suffering is still there, that suffering will come back. But by culturing this knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you're uprooting all that misery. Completely throwing it away, which means it will never come back again. So this idea of it uprooting the misery, that's a very important concept. And And it is next stated here that this beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled with the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is all you need to achieve perfection. We don't tell the people they cannot read other scriptures. We never say them. If they're inspired by the Bible, we encourage them, but at least follow the Bible strictly, you see. But once you enter into an understanding of this Bhagavata, you will see that all the truths contained in the Bible and the Quran, they're already in you. The Bible and the Quran, they are introductory level. If any of you studied math, I know she studied math. She's a mathematics whiz. Any of you studied mathematics? There's different levels. There's arithmetic, there's algebra, there's geometry, there's trigonometry. It just keeps going up and up. Calculus, it goes up and up. It's higher level. Whatever level you're on, it is still mathematics. But they're higher level mathematics, you see. So the science of God, there is beginner level, there is intermediate level, and then there is the high level science of God. The high level knowledge, it includes all the intermediate and beginner level knowledge. It's not that those who have a PhD in mathematics do not know what the elementary student knows about math. They know that and much, much more. So this Srimad Bhagavatam includes all the knowledge of all the scriptures of the world within it. Therefore, if you just study this one book, Srimad Bhagavatam, then your life will become perfect. And Bhagavad Gita helps us to understand the Bhagavatam. So we encourage to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This knowledge will empower you to become perfect. And then it concludes here, as soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. This means that, of course, God is already present within your heart. That is a fact. But the difficulty is we do not realize it. That is a difficulty. But by this Bhagavatam knowledge, you see, this culturing Bhagavatam, then you will fully realize God within your heart. You will realize there is a person sitting within my heart, and you will understand who he is, what his nature is, how to please him. You'll even be able to talk with him and hear him talk to you. This is not to be imitated by beginners. But those who are advanced transcendentalists, they can directly communicate with God within their hearts. The first point in this verse is that this Bhagavatam is different from the other scriptures. In the Vedas, there are thousands of scriptures. Many of them are encouraging people in their fulfillment of their material desires. So So the Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, it rejects all of these ideas of engaging in religious life for fulfilling material desire. Why does the Bhagavatam reject them? Don't we have material needs? Yes, we have material needs. But why are we asking God to fulfill our material desires? Does it make sense? When you were a child growing up in your parents' house, did you have to ask them to feed you every day? I'm asking you. Do you have to ask them to feed you every day? No, they did it because they loved you. No. Did they feed you automatically? You had to beg for food from your mother and father every day?
No, fortunately.
Yeah. They fed you because they loved you, yeah. So why do we think that God doesn't love us? Is it? That we have to go and pray to Him for food. That is low-level understanding of God. Dear God, please give me my daily bread. It's very low-level understanding of God. It's much better than atheism, obviously, but it is very low understanding of God. There's no reason to have to beg God for bread. He's already providing. We simply have to pray that we can learn how to love Him and serve Him. That is the teaching of the Bhagavatam. To give up all material motives for engaging in religious activity. To have one desire and one desire only, that is to become a lover of God. When we make that desire in our heart, I want to be a pure devotee of God. He will give us whatever we need. We don't have to be in anxiety. If we need to be married, He will give us a nice wife or a nice husband. Whatever we need, the Lord will provide that for us, you see. We simply have to put our full faith and our trust in Him. But you know what? If we just go halfway, then Krishna doesn't reciprocate with us in the same way. In the Mahabharata, there's a very nice story of Draupadi. She was being disrobed by the Kaurava warriors. She had been lost in a gambling match. And she was now a slave of Duryodhana. So they wanted to disrobe her publicly, to put her to shame and to put the whole and the Pandavas to shame. They wanted to strip her naked in the assembly of warriors. So she was holding onto her saris with one hand, and she was calling to Krishna to protect her with the other hand. You see. She had one side she was taking shelter of Krishna, the other side she was thinking that she would just take care of herself. In that mood, Krishna was not helping her. But when she realized it is useless, I cannot prevent, these warriors are going to strip me naked, there's nothing I can do, I have no power to hold my sari on against these powerful warriors. Then she put both hands to Krishna. And then Krishna gave her an unlimited sari, you see. So we may think, why is God not fulfilling my desires, you see? It means we're still trying to do business with God. That's like Draupadi, one hand in Krishna and one hand being, trying to control things. Don't try to do business with Krishna. That is not surrender. That I will worship you, but you have to fulfill my desires. That's part of the deal. See, that's material idea. It's not spiritual. Krishna will not give you much if you do like that. He won't give you very much. He'll keep you in poverty to teach you a lesson. But if you fully surrender to Krishna and fully depend on Him, He will give you unlimited facility. Unlimited facility. Krishna is prepared to give you the whole world. But if you still desire sense enjoyment, you will use it for sense enjoyment. Therefore, He doesn't give. If you have material desires, He holds back your material things as much as possible to teach you a lesson. So if you want unlimited facility, then just say, Krishna, from now on I'm totally belong to you. Do with me whatever you like. I'm yours. Put yourself completely in the hands of Krishna. And then I can guarantee you this. You'll be completely amazed to see how Krishna takes care of you. You'll be amazed. How is this possible? This is inconceivable nectar. So, now I can ask if there's any questions.
Mul on üks küsimus, aga et ma ei taha ennast kiita seoses selle hari, mis ma käin Jumala püha nimesi laulan. Ja raamatut levitan, mul tekis hästi palju huvilisi ja ma kutsun neid programmile, kas ma tohin, ma olen juba teinud neid programmi, kas ma tohin neid programmi teha ja kui tohin, et ma tahaks, et vaimne õpetaja võibolla annaks oma õnnistused mulle nende programmide läbi viimiseks.
He's going on Harinam and asking people, inviting people to the programs he is doing in his home.
Going in Harinam, inviting people to programs, and then what?
Doing his program in his home.
In your home.
He's asking if he can do it and if you can give your blessings.
You're already doing it?
No.
He's already doing it. So, if you're feeling that you're needing blessings in order to do that, why you didn't ask me before you started?
Sellepärast, et ma nagu kahtesin, kas ma üldse tohin õnnistuse, ma sain püha nime kohta. Aga minu eesmärk ei olnud programmi anda. Aga kuna nii palju huvilisi tekis inimesi, siis ma tundsin, et minu kohustus anda nendele Krishna teadus nii palju, kui ma ise tean ja viia neid inimesi juurde. Ja nüüd ma näen, et Krishna andis mulle seda jõudu. Inimesed tahavad nagu... Enne mul ei olnud seda. Ma lihtsalt käisin, laulsin ja müüsin raamatut.
He didn't plan to do, but when he saw that so many people are interested, then he thought that it's his duty to do it.
No, it's very good that you're doing them. I fully approve of it. And I do give my blessings. But if you felt that you needed my blessings before you did it, then you should.
Proper way to do it.
Then you should have asked first. But I take it that the super soul inspired you, and it's that actually the Lord in your heart inspired you to do that, and it's very nice you're doing that. I appreciate it.
But the people didn't come. Where are the people?
Wait. Okay. Now, Vishnupriya.
No, Eila will it shall.
I'm asking him where are the people from the program that he's doing.
Yesterday there were some.
Where are they? Where are the people that are coming? Did they come to our program yesterday?
Yes.
They did? Some of your people came to the lecture yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Then you keep doing that. It's very nice. Make a spiritual revolution here in Tartu. In Estonia, this is considered the major university in the country. Tartu is the number one university. So you make this also the number one place for Krishna consciousness. You should make a big preaching here so we can have a huge center here with hundreds of devotees.
Kuidas näiteks suhtuda niimoodi, et kui inimene püüab tegeleda Krishna teadusega, siis ja tegelikult eesmärk elada selle nimelt, kutsub inimesed annavad makse ja ise tahab ka elada. Samas ka ta räägib nagu Krishnast, mina nagu niukes inimesi ei taha kuulata. Kas ma pean käima nende juures või et näiteks mina tahan nüüd kodus teha seda niukest väikest templit, samas kutsun inimesi enda juurde. Ma tean, et inimesed hakkavad annetusi mulle andma, aga eesmärk mul mitte Krishnat nendele anda, aga elada nende nimelt. Ja nende nimelt, et ei ole, siis minul seda ei ole südames, aga ma tean, et inimesed niimoodi kasutavad, ja ma ei taha nende inimestega niimoodi nende juures käia kuulata seda niukest juttu, kui ma näen, et niimoodi inimene käitub. Et esmaselt tal on see raha. Tal ei ole seda puhast, seda...
Mida sa küsida tahad?
Ma tahangi küsida, et kas selle inimesega ma pean suhtlema või ei pea.
He is one of his students.
Oh, very good.
He was asking that he has seen that some people invite people to their place and then people give them money to the organizer and they don't have pure motives, they just want money. He has seen it.
All right, so you be pure, that's all. Preaching is not something you do for money. You should always be pure in your heart.
Yeah, and you also know that if he can communicate with those who have not pure motives.
What is it?
Can he communicate with those people who does not have a pure motive?
Can he associate?
Yes.
What is it?
Communicate.
Yeah, we communicate with everyone. We're trying to educate them. Our position is to communicate with everybody, to try to educate them to the higher platform. If they don't want to hear, we don't waste our time with them. We find out those people who are willing to hear and learn from us, and we focus our energy on communicating with them. Those who want to argue with us, who don't want to hear from us, we don't waste our time communicating with them. Once we see that they're not open to higher level understandings of the Supreme Truth,
suhtlema kõigiga olenemata motiividest, aga kui nad on nagu vastu.
Kui nad on vastu, kui nad üks ei võta vastu, siis nagu ei tasu vajada.
No ma sain aru ikkagi, et kui tal on see soov teenida eesmaselt raha, mul pole mõtet temaga rääkida sellel teemal, las ta teeb siis nimelt.
Ei, ta ütles, et sa võid suhelda,
Does he want to communicate with them so they can give him that donation or what?
No, actually he was asking that if someone is also organizing programs and inviting people but they don't have pure motives, they only want money, should he go
who,
to this
who is
program?
Doing that? Is that the like Krishna consciousness?
Because he has seen devotees.
Devotees are doing? Devotees? In Tartu?
Not in
Tartu. Oh, okay. Don't worry about it then. Don't worry about it. Just you can always collect money to make nice prasadam, to give them books, to help cover, you know, my travel expenses. There's nothing wrong with collecting some money. We can spend money, collect money for Krishna and spend it for Krishna. We want to collect all the money of the world so they will stop using it for nonsense. So there's nothing wrong with collecting money as long as it's spent for Krishna, that's the point. Any other questions?
I've got one question. That you have said that those people who reached higher levels, they can communicate directly with God.
Yes.
So, but you also have had some experience communicating with God directly, so.
So what's the question?
No, did you have some experience?
Definitely.
Some experience of connection
He's
with God?
Yes, yes.
If you had any experience.
Yes. Actually, the real fact is everybody has connection with God. But here's a very nice example given. Just like an automobile engine. If the layman looks in the, if he has some car trouble, he may lift the hood and look at the engine. He sees the engine, but he cannot understand what is wrong with the engine. But if he brings the qualified mechanic, he can see the engine, but he can see how to fix it also, you see. So everybody is actually connecting with God. Everyone is seeing God, you see. God is omnipresent. He's within and without. Everyone is seeing God. It's like everyone is seeing the engine within the car. But the difference is the mechanic, everyone is seeing differently than the average person. Therefore, he can immediately solve the problem. So, you are seeing God, the spiritual master is seeing God. Both are seeing God. But you're seeing God and the spiritual master is seeing God, that is different. Therefore, the spiritual master is qualified to guide you how to become free from illusion. He is empowered by God to see how you are an illusion. Just like a doctor can analyze the sickness of the patient. The spiritual master is empowered by God to see the illusion within the heart of the student. So that he can guide that student how to become free from illusion. So, my seeing of God and your seeing of God is different. Well, you're both seeing God, that's a bit. Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. The sunlight coming in, that is Krishna. So you're experiencing Krishna also. But my seeing of Krishna and your seeing of Krishna, they are different. Therefore, I'm qualified as a spiritual master. You are qualified to become a student if you would like. Any other questions?
Et keegi küsis, et miks nagu Indias on mõnes kohas on hästi palju jumalusi. Mis asi see on nagu? Et mina ei oska esialgu midagi mõelda, siis ma lihtsalt loogiliselt mõtlesin, et taustavad kõiki seal. Aga mis see nagu on, et miks nii palju, et puuta siis seal järjest seal tulevad ainult?
Somebody asked him why in India on the altars there are so many different gods.
And our altar, we don't have so many different gods.
In India.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it?
Yeah, because the modern day Hindus, they are not very well trained in the Vedic science. Therefore, they foolishly worship the demigods, who are subordinate gods, on an equal level with the Supreme God. Krishna clearly warns against this in the Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 7, text number 23. Antavattu palam te sham. Tadabat yalpa medasam Devan Devi Yajo Yanti Mad Bhakta Yanti Mamapi. Unintelligent, wait, see. Antavattu palam tesham. Tadvabhat yalpa medasham, devan devi ajo yanti, mad bhakta yanti mamapi. 7:23, that is correct.
This is, you are, what you want, which translation you want?
I'm getting that translation. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. The worshippers of the demigods go to the planets of the demigod. And my devotees attain my supreme planet. The planets of the demigods are higher planets within this material world. This means that the people are doing these foolish things means they're not being properly guided. The spiritual masters now in India are not, they're bogus. They're not properly enlightened in Vedic wisdom. Practically all of the so-called spiritual masters teach the people to worship all the gods. In the Bible, you have God and you have the angels. They're different. Angels are celestial beings who serve, their messengers of God, servants of God. So the demigods, they're like angels. They are assistants of God. They are not God. To elevate the... If you told a Christian the angels are themselves God, they would think you were crazy. You see? Everyone knows the angels are servants of God. But in India, they take these higher level beings to be God Himself. It is great foolishness. Therefore, Krishna says, Alpa Medasa. He said they have no brain. Medasa means brain, and alpa means no brain. Alpa, very little. I always make a joke. Because in the USA, there is a dog food called alpa dog food. So when Bhagavatam says they have alpa brain, then I like it is dog food brain. You see. So those who worship demigod, they have dog food brain. Alpa medasa. So don't you be like that dog food brain. You surrender to the Guru, fully surrender to your spiritual master. You see? Don't be like a dog food brain person. Any other questions?
Wouldn't it be easier to say if somebody says that in India they worship so many gods, would it be easier to reply to them, I don't worship so many gods? India worships, I have nothing to do with India there.
And they can say, well, you're not as broad-minded as those people in India. You must be a narrow-minded sectarianist. We have to let the translations go there. Everybody knows. It'll be a little patient. Give her a chance to translate each side first.
This is not for them.
No, these people are here. We can't. It's impolite to them to talk when they don't know what we're talking about.
Okay.
That's very impolite. We can do it privately, but in a class, it has to be. Everything has to be translated. So, any other questions?
Now, you are not going to let me continue, or just...
Yes, you can continue with your question.
So, this is for the preaching purpose, instead of going, because this person, whoever is asking, is criticizing that in India they worship many gods. When a person is asking in India, this is nothing to do with the Indian, but the person outside of India who is talking that in India they worship so many gods. It's not favorable, but...
Well, I don't understand your question.
Yes, you are not understanding.
Make it clear to me, what is your question?
I'm asking a question, but...
Make your question clear to me.
It's very clear.
All right, go ahead. No, make it very clear to me so I understand exactly what you know.
This is a person asking him in India, one who wants to criticize.
I've already answered his question.
Yes, so I'm saying the same question. I'm saying that wouldn't it be easier instead of giving him the philosophy?
No, I already said that they will take that which you said, then you're narrow-minded. I already answered your point.
Whether I am asking that this person has nothing to do with India. He is just criticizing.
He has some knowledge of India. He may be thinking.
Is it fair?
Anyway, I need it. The best thing is I talk directly with this person, whoever he is. Bring him to me, and then we'll discuss.
I can ask him. Ask him if this person who asked is critical about Indian religion or favorable.
Not critical.
He was just... He's favorable of demigod worship.
She just visited India and saw it.
He visited India and he saw.
But there's nobody saying.
She's not worshipping him. Just
from my perspective, it's better you educate people with the proper understanding according to the Vedic wisdom. You take the time and explain to them and so they fully understand. That's better. Explain to them scientifically why the principle of worshipping many gods is not a valid principle. So any other points? Manaji, you have any other points in this connection?
No.
Okay. Okay, anybody else have a question?
Mul on viimane küsimus. Et korrata püha nimest ma tahan küsida. Et korrata mantrat, kordan püha nimesi ja ütleme, käin üksinda laulan või karunaga või pühendajaga ka kordan Jumala püha nimesi. Küsimus on selles. Et mis toob nagu rohkem, mis rohkem nagu puhastab ka mind. Kui ma üksinda mantrat loen, no see puhastab. Aga kui nüüd ma käin inimestel laulan, siis selle kaudu näete, kui palju inimesi tuli lihtsalt. Küsimus nüüd selles, et kas vahet on minu isikliku puhastamisest?
He's chanting Japa and also going on Harinam streets. And he's asking if there is, if one of them is more favorable or more cleaning for him.
If you don't do your japa, your harinam is useless.
Kui sa ei loe japat, siis harinam on kasutu.
Ei, ma loen japat ka.
First chant 16 rounds and then do harinam.
Et korda 16 ringi esimene.
Jah.
Siis pead japan nii.
Ma mõtlesin, et kui ma harinama teen, et inimesed nagu seda ka kuulevad ja see no, Jumal näeb. Kui ma tšapad, Jumal on enda jaoks. Aga harinamat ma on Jumala jaoks ja ka inimeste jaoks.
Mr. Chapa, he does for himself only, but harinam is also for other people.
Actually, japa is also for others.
Chapa on samuti ka teiste.
Because if your japa becomes perfect, then you'll be empowered to make everyone Krishna conscious. So make your japa perfect also, and then preach. You simply preach without perfecting your japa, then you become proud or thinking, I am a great preacher. Then you'll fall down. So japa, you have to pray for being humble devotee of the Lord, in this humble servant mood. So japa is very important. Without quality japa, you'll never be a successful preacher. And following strictly the four regulative principles. Otherwise, what sort of preacher are you? You're not showing a good example yourself? All these books say to chant 16 rounds and follow the four principles. If you're not doing, then how you can preach? Therefore, you must strictly follow these regulated principles. No deviations. Is that clear? Any other questions?
What is fear? Why people are afraid of so many things?
Why people are afraid of so many things? Because they are criminals. A criminal is always afraid of being punished by the government. He never lives in peace. One time, Srila Prabhupada was walking in Calcutta down the street with one police officer. And as they went walking through the market, one man here, he went running, another man went running here, running away. So Prabhupada asked the policeman, why are the people running away? You're not coming to arrest them. And he's, this policeman said, actually they are thieves and they're afraid that I might be coming to arrest them. So in this way, a thief, he is always in anxiety. So one who is disobeying the laws of God, deep down within his heart, he is always fearing being punished by God for his sins. Therefore, he is always fearful. So the only way to become free from fear is to surrender to Krishna. And then you become fearless. This is why we're teaching you how to become fearless. By completely surrendering to God. But you don't want to fully surrender, that's the problem. You want to hold on to your material desires, that's the difficulty. So the spiritual master has to fight with you sometimes. To defeat your material desires. You understand? He has to fight with sometimes the students. Their material desires are so strong, he has to beat them down. With a weapon of knowledge. We do not beat with stick. We beat with knowledge, you see. To be beaten with knowledge, it is very nice beating, you see. You become enlightened when you become beaten with knowledge, you see. With your illusion becomes smashed with knowledge and is very good. You will feel happy. Oh, I'm relieved of a big burden now. I've been defeated, philosophically defeated now. All my illusions are gone. Now I can see the truth. Any other questions? Maharaji, any points you'd like to add?
No.
How I could have said something better?
No, I didn't say anything that you said wrong.
All right. Something that might add to what I've said to make it more easily understood by the members? I don't claim to be perfect preacher. I'm struggling to learn how to educate them also. How to convince them to fully surrender, begging Krishna's mercy, begging Prabhupada's mercy, that I can somehow set the example and give the instructions in such a way that all the students can fully understand and become fully enlivened, totally surrender. That's my prayer to Prabhupada, that I can do that. I never claimed to be a great preacher. I'm just a servant of the great preacher, that's all. Just a servant. Any questions further?
Tähendab alistumisest, näiteks ma räägin endast, et mul ei õnnestunud. Ma tahtsin tohutult alistuda, aga mul ei õnnestunud. Ja siis ükskord tuleb see armulikus ja siis iseenesest loobud selles iseenese, aga et ise mõtled, et alistud. Ei tule. Ja küsimus, kus see alistus loeb, kas šapas tuleb või vaimne õpetaja südames aidata mind. Ja siis see nagu, saad sa, siis see tuleb see jõud. Minul, võibolla teistel on see alistud iseenesest tuleb, aga minul see, ma lihtsalt näen, aha, see asi järsku kadus ära, enam ei ole. Et kus see tuleb, kus?
He tried to surrender. But he couldn't. He really tried, but he couldn't. And then suddenly it came, like the strength. Where does this surrender come from? Does it come from Chapa or spiritual master or where? Because he couldn't.
However you can get it, take it. Whether it comes from Guru, whether it comes from Krishna, whether it comes from sadhus, whether it comes from scripture,
vahe, kus ta tuleb, et kas see tuleb Krishna, või sadhus, või
whether it comes from the holy names, whether it comes from prasadam, whatever inspires you to surrender, take it.
Võta ja ma olen nii õnnelik, ma näen, et see töötab, see ei ole vale, mis vaimne õpetaja räägib. See lihtsalt aega võtab minu, aga see 100% töötab. Ja selle tõttu ma olen väga, väga õnnelik, isegi selles positsioonis, mis ma olen. Aga ma tahan veel õnnelikum saada.
He says that he's very happy, that he can see that it works, it's not just talking.
Bhakti yoga works?
Bhakti yoga works.
No ma räägin, et ma olen õnnelik, et ma näen, et see protsess, mis kirjeldatakse pühakirjades, vaimne õpetaja räägib, see toimib. Lihtsalt ütleme, minu puhul ta ei toiminud niimoodi, et mul läks aega, aga ma näen, et halvad omadused kaovad, kaovad isenesest ja ma ei tahagi isegi nendest kuulata, mida ma olen ennem teinud.
Yes, this process described in the scriptures, he feels that it works also, but
very good. That's very good. So, are there any other question? So, you're totally satisfied now? All your questions are answered?
Yeah, now I think that there is some emptiness. I cannot
think of anything now?
Figure out any questions.
All right. Well, you can always write me an email then. Questions come later on. What is your name?
Daniel.
Daniel, okay. So I'll know Daniel from Tartu. I get a Daniel from Tartu email, I'll know who it was. All right. Okay, then it looks like we can stop here then. So we thank you all very much for so kindly hearing these sublime teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.